all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio. It's Thursday, March 16th, 2023. Nice to have you along. What an hour we have planned for you this time around. Just 19 days until the huge Wisconsin State Supreme Court election. We are going to be joined shortly by candidate and Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz, along with former State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski, for a discussion on the importance of having a plan to vote on April 4th. And then in this week's Hometown Health segment, Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here with us, and she will be joined by the president of the Wisconsin Medical Society, Dr. Wendy Malaska, to discuss the increased challenges of attracting and retaining quality physicians when politicians put themselves between patients and their doctors. It was Dr. Malaska who came out last fall and said to her members, to the physicians, we know you don't typically like to get involved in politics one way or another, but this is existential now, and you need to let your voices be heard. And so we're going to hear more about that from Kristen and from Dr. Wendy Malaska. Kristen is with us right now, but joining us as well, former state treasurer Sarah Godlewski and Judge Protasiewicz. Sarah, since you were responsible for bringing the judge to us this morning, let me say good morning to you first off.
Well, good morning, Pat. And I can't believe the election is 19 days away. I mean, it's here.
We are getting there. And the last time that we had you on, you were getting set to begin a series of statewide rallies, Rally for Our Rights. I was all set to cover that first one in Eau Claire last weekend, and then Mother Nature had other plans, but that hasn't stopped y'all from, you know, getting things going elsewhere.
Yeah, we actually had our kickoff rally in Appleton. And it was interesting because when we first put Appleton on the map, as one of the six that we're doing, people are like, Sarah, no one's going to show up. That's not really a place that you should be doing these kind of rallies. And we kicked it off on Saturday in 23 degree weather in downtown Appleton. And it was a huge crowd. And what I think was so uplifting is not only that people showed up because they care about their rights and they know what's at stake in the Supreme Court election, it was who showed up. These were first-time voters, first-time activists, and people who were sharing their stories, how they had been personally affected by the lack of ability to make their own reproductive health decisions. And these are people who have never shared before. And then they would say to me afterwards, Pat, they would be, Sarah, I just want to tell you, thank you. I feel like now this whole brick is lifted off of me. I've never shared this before. And I am doing everything I can to make sure we get out the vote for Janet.
There are so many people doing the same thing. And look, the fact of the matter is, it doesn't happen with just any candidate. You can have the facts on your side, the issues on your side. You can have voters who feel strongly about something. But if the candidate isn't appealing, you know, the turnout isn't there. And the fact of the matter is, we had nearly a million voters turn out in the primary, in part because of what they see in Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz, candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court, who is with us this morning as well. Judge Protasiewicz, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here.
Well, it's nice to have you back. Thank you. We got to visit with you earlier in the campaign during the primary. It's nice to talk to you now on the backside of that as you head into this race with former Justice Dan Kelly, a Scott Walker appointee who lost in 2020 to Jill Karofsky and is now trying to get back on the court. Interestingly enough, with the rather explicit admission that he's hoping the cavalry comes in for him, a very well-funded cavalry. This is a race that has received so much attention for the outside interest, the outside money that's coming in. And I noted last week that, you know, you were doing the work of raising the money. You had spent more money than any of the other, you know, interested groups out there. The number two spender wasn't former Justice Kelly, it was a group. Number three wasn't Kelly, it was some other group. Dan Kelly had bought $0 in ads to this point and is counting on outside spending to do the race. You're counting on folks who have been supporting you. And as a result, like I said, you're getting that support, you're getting that recognition. What's your assessment of the race with 19 days to go?
We're feeling good, but we're not taking anything for granted. You know, we're not taking our foot off the pedal. We are running and running and running. We're going to run through that finish line, and we're pretty much working around the clock. Last night, I was in Madison. I got home late. I think we did, you know, three stops or events in Madison. That was after doing a, you know, 7 a.m. interview yesterday morning, and I'm still working full time, and I worked all day. Went to Madison and, you know, got home just enough time to, you know, get up this morning. And I'll be heading from here to another interview. I'll be in La Crosse later today. We are doing absolutely everything we can to talk to everybody across the state about how important the race is. And we're not relenting. We're not relenting at all. So we have 19 more days to continue to get that message out. And that's what we're doing.
Talk about the importance of the race. I know it's one of the things that comes up every single time, but I'm going to ask you again anyway, because frankly, no matter what, unfortunately, you're not going to see the turnout level of, say, a November election. So everything we're doing is trying to build on what is normally a lackluster spring turnout. And so in the 30 seconds we've got before a break here, what do you tell people about the importance of this particular election?
I tell people that absolutely everything they care about is on the line with this election. And I mean everything. We talk about reproductive health rights. And it's interesting. I just read an article by a physician this morning who said, I sure wished I hadn't called it interrupting a pregnancy or terminating a pregnancy, because I don't think people understood what an abortion is and how important it is and how important it is for people to have that, you know, that right. So
exactly. And that right is something that Dr. Lyerly and I talked about in the last segment. We're going to take a break. We're going to get a weather update. And then she and Sarah and I will be back with Judge Protasiewicz to expound on this in just a bit. You're up north. We're going to get back to Sarah Godlewski making mincemeat of the glass ceiling coming up in just a bit here, helping out Judge Protasiewicz. Dr. Lyerly will be with us as well. But first, like I mentioned in the last hour, after being in Southern California for the past couple of days, I've really had my fill talking about atmospheric rivers and what just a little bit of rain can do in some very sensitive areas. And I'm ready to get back to talking about Midwestern weather and how we have gone from, snow to cold to what's downright mild to land, you know, in Minneapolis last night and have temperatures be in the mid 40s was just downright welcome. And I believe it's Michael Cairo over at Weatherology who's going to tell us more about the forecast heading into this weekend. Good morning.
Good morning. Jennifer's back.
Oh, Jennifer, it's you. Hey, it's been a while. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks. How are you doing?
Oh, good, good. I hope you had a nice break. Get to talk to you for a couple of days here before I go on another break. But hey, what's important is the here and now and what's happening for Midwestern weather. What can you tell us?
Yeah, kind of a little bit of a mix of everything. Like you said, the Midwestern weather is always very interesting as far as, you know, what's happening, what's going to happen, and then how quickly it changes, especially in Wisconsin. And it looks like for today, most of the state is looking at areas of chances of rain showers here, primarily for the afternoon hours. A few scattered areas or slight chances for some rain throughout the morning hours today. And temperatures pretty mild, as you mentioned here, lingering right around about the mid to lower 40s here. That's actually very average for this time of the year, right where we should be. And then it looks like once we get to the evening hours, primarily in the overnight, we'll start seeing, or late night into the overnight, most of the state we'll start seeing that rain snow mix becoming all snow in the overnight hours. Not expecting to see much accumulating snow from that, but definitely something to keep in mind if you are looking at traveling or if you are in the northwestern portions of the state around Ashland, Iron River, Hayward. You're looking at a winter weather advisory, and those particular areas are expecting to see anywhere between 3 to 8 inches of snowfall here by the time the overnight hours are over. So definitely something to keep in mind. The rest of the state looks like it's really going to be a little bit more mild, and again, those chances for snow showers, maybe a fresh coating possible. For tomorrow, though, those temperatures are going to drop pretty significantly. It looks like lingering right around about the that 30-degree mark through the 20s here for much of the state, a little bit warmer towards the southern portions of the state, Richland Center over down to Milwaukee, looking at temperatures lingering primarily in the mid to upper 20s. If you get a little bit closer to Amory, looking at temperatures actually even in getting into the upper teens, so lingering right around about 20. Maybe still a chance for some snow showers in the western portions of the state here for Friday as well. But once we get to the weekend, it's actually pretty decent. Still a little on the cooler side here for your Saturday. You know, everyone's starting to plan for their weekends. So temperatures still a little bit below average here on Saturday, lingering in the 20s throughout the state, actually. And then once we get to Sunday, also a little bit on the cloudy side as well, and some areas of flurries here on Saturday, mainly, again, in the southern portions of the state. Otherwise, pretty dry for the rest. And then on Sunday, everyone's actually expecting to see some sunshine. Anywhere between Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Milwaukee, Baldwin, over to Eagle River, everyone's expecting to see some sunshine. A warm front starting to come through the area, so we'll see temperatures lingering right around or above, or just above freezing, so still not quite at average for this time of the year in the 40s where we should be, but we are expecting to see those temperatures starting to warm back up on Sunday, our last official full day of winter coming in, and then Monday we'll start to see some spring.
All right. Jennifer, thank you so much. We'll get another weatherology update this time tomorrow. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
There's meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki joining us from Weatherology. All right, we're back with Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz, also joined by former State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski and Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Dr. Lyerly will have a guest, Dr. Wendy Malaska, president of the State Medical Society, coming up in our next segment. Judge Janet, let me start with that. We've talked about how doctors are getting involved. Sarah just got talking about all the first time voters who are getting involved. And before we went to break, we were talking about that specifically about why women are getting involved. But let's take it to that next level of voters across the state. Why they are getting involved and paying attention to this race? What is it about it that is so motivating to them and motivating to you to get into this race?
Well, I think there's a number of other issues that I haven't touched on. So besides the, you know, women's right to choose, we have our gerrymandered maps. We have this potential of the 2024 presidential election coming into our Wisconsin Supreme Court chamber. We've got LGBTQ rights, marriage equality, the environment, you know, everything when it comes to, you know, those substantive meaty issues. But almost bigger than that is this overarching concern that people want a fair, independent Supreme Court. People are tired of the extremism. They want change. They don't want it to feel like decisions have already been made and decisions are preordained. And you know, my opponent's an election denier. My opponent is an extremist. I can't even call him a conservative. We are hoping very, very much, you know, to earn conservative votes. But I can tell you this, quite frankly, this guy's not a conservative. He's an extremist.
And it's interesting, Janet, because that's something that I hear in talking with folks across the state. You know, they're like, we just want somebody who has integrity and experience. And I think that's very clear with you. Unlike with Dan Kelly, who's this partisan hack that literally ran his 2020 election out of the Republican headquarters and was paid six figures to advise the Republican Party about overturning the will of the people. I mean, this should be pretty frightening to think somebody like this could be sitting on the bench. And something that I think is always front and center when Wisconsinites are looking at who to vote for.
I think so too. And, you know, even after he announced his run for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, he was still being paid by the Republican Party. So, you know, you talk about somebody who's extreme, who's on their payroll, and like you said, was running his, you know, running his last campaign out of their offices. And I think people are just tired of it. People want, you know, people want our state to be, you know, a fair, independent, impartial state.
And Janet, maybe too, you can share with listeners, like, who is Judge Janet? You know, growing up in this working class family, you know, going to school at UW-Milwaukee, maybe just give listeners a little bit more too, like, who is Judge Janet?
Well, sure. I was born and raised on the south side of Milwaukee, Wisconsinite my entire life. Didn't even leave to go to school. Maybe I should have, but didn't even leave to go to school. Worked my way through UW-Milwaukee. You know, I did some waitressing, worked for the League of Women Voters, actually wrote some music reviews. And then I went to law school at Marquette. And when I came out of law school, I think it was those values that were instilled from my family. You know, you work hard, you get a good education, you give back to your community. That's what I wanted to do. So I was really honored to be appointed an assistant district attorney in Milwaukee and did that work for just over a quarter of a century, you know, doing my best to protect families, protect victims, you know, keep our community safe. That's what I did. And then I decided I was tired of going into court and asking a judge to do what I thought was fair and appropriate. I wanted to start making those decisions. So I ran for the circuit court in Milwaukee. And it has been an honor. But I'll tell you that this race that I have been in has been more of an honor than anything. The amount of people that I'm meeting across the state, the places that I'm going. And I've had people say to me, don't you think that rather than having to campaign across the state for a year, we should appoint our judges? And I say, I don't think so, because you wouldn't have the insight that you have by going and meeting people and talking to them about their concerns and issues. I think that they would be much more esoteric, you know, sets of facts and legal theories. And it's just so interesting to meet people and hear about what they care about and how the decisions that a court makes impact their lives.
I love hearing you say that you want to listen to the people. And I heard you say earlier, you talked about values. And I think Wisconsinites are tired of all of this political ugliness, and they want to get back to what our values are. And one set of values that has been really important to me and to my patients and to my neighbors and my community are what's happening with women's health. And you've been very forthright and very transparent about your approach to this dicey situation. It's right there on your website. Can you talk a little bit about your values as they relate to women's health?
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, I'm running for a judicial spot, a judicial seat. So I have to be careful what I say and make sure that everybody understands I'm not making any promises on any cases. You know, the cases will be decided based on the law, based on the Constitution. That being said, I think the public should know and is entitled to know what a candidate's personal values are. And my personal value is, it's very clear that women's reproductive health rights are theirs, and they should be able to make those decisions without the government interfering. And Dr. Kristen, I had an event last Friday with a group of OBGYNs. And what they said to me is, yes, it's all the issues that women care about, but it's also physician attrition. It's also the fact that young people don't want to move to Wisconsin and start a family, because if there's an issue, they can't have the medical care that they need. And the issue is so much more layered than what people just think it is and how people consider it.
You know, Janet, something that I, going back to listening, in addition to women's health, hear a lot about too, is water rights. And we know, and like the environment, we know there's right now a case going through the Wisconsin court system about PFAS, these forever chemicals that we know very well here in Wisconsin that are poisoning our lakes and poisoning our riverways, suing those companies and asking them, should they be held accountable? Because we know Dan Kelly has sided, for example, with Big Oil in the past. You know, when you are listening and meeting with folks, what are some other like rights or cases that you're hearing a lot about from folks across the state?
Well, Sarah, to that point, I was talking with a group of people, you know, in a rural county. And what they told me is that they hand their farms down generation to generation. And that with the PFAS, with the contaminants, they're concerned as to whether or not they're going to be able to do that. And that's their legacy. And so people share that with me. And when you really hear it from someone and how it is impacting them, how it is impacting their family farm, you start to understand in a different way just how all of these issues impact everybody.
Judge Janet Protasiewicz is talking to us about her race for state Supreme Court. And I want to wrap up just by noting, again, this is not specific to any particular law, but we kind of started the show this morning talking about other instances where in American politics, you have politicians who seem to always want to put the corporation first and frame you by the work that you are or aren't doing rather than the worth that you do or don't have as a person. It would appear to me, Your Honor, that when we talk about we the people and laws, that should be the value frame that starts first, is what does any given law and case mean for people rather than a corporate entity? I have a sense that voters would get more of that from you than they might from another candidate.
Oh, I would think so too. And, you know, I really would love to return our values back to our Supreme Court. You know, you look at our progressive values and, you know, how that even began. It began, you know, with a, you know, clean, transparent, you know, government. That was the goal. And you can certainly see the contrast in the event that my opponent would be elected on April 4th. That transparent government would be no more.
With lots of help, I note, from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Judge Janet Protasiewicz, thank you again. I wish you all the best and very honored that you could join us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted.
Sarah, always good to see you as well. We'll see you again real soon.
Of course.
All right. Thank Dr. Lyle is going to stick around and we'll talk more about that physician retention.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
All right, I believe Aaron Zommers has hijacked the music list once again, but usually it's for a good reason, and in this case, apparently it deals with a birthday in the Civic Media family, Aaron?
Yes, today is the birthday of our CEO, Sage Weil, and this is Roy G. Biv by Boards of Canada, because I happen to know he likes that band.
All right, well, good work out of you. I'm sure there'll be a little something extra in the birthday card that that you're sending him, right?
Yeah.
All right. Mark Jacob joins us now from Chicago, author, former editor with the Chicago Tribune and the Sun-Times, and we tend to take time this week to look at how the media has covered this, that, and the other thing over the course of the week. A lot of times we end up talking about not just the media figures, but the politicians as well, and we have a doozy from Minnesota to tell you about in just a second, but I want to start, Mark, with the media figures, and the Dominion lawsuit against Fox News told us a lot about what was happening behind the scenes, and it kind of reinforced the things that we already knew, what a lot of us already knew about some of the folks at Fox News. And you put it very succinctly in a post this week that Maria Bartiromo gets paid a lot of money to tell lies that make people more likely to die of COVID, and she is a hazard to the nation's health, to which I would say amen 100%. And yet she was a revered, immensely respected figure at CNBC before she went over to Fox. So now I get to turn you into a pop psychologist and say, Mark, what the hell happened?
What happened to her? You know, there are people like Bartiromo. I would kind of put Glenn Greenwald in this category too, where, you know, in some early media mentions and when they, you know, first started, they, you know, people thought that they would be on, you know, the side of righteousness, but they turned out to be, you know, take some horrible turn. And my theory is that they were always horrible people. They were just presenting well. And that now we're seeing them for what they really, really were. And maybe, you know, the thing about it is, the thing that scares me most about what's going on in both in media and in politics today is not that people have, you know, the wrong ideas or that their opinions are, you know, hazardous to people. It's more that they don't really believe in anything. I mean, the fact that they don't really believe in anything is frightening. And I think that Bartiromo is in that case. I think, you know, early in her career, she was, you know, she was doing what made her successful, and it made her successful. And then as soon as she gets on, you know, Fox and gets in that world, she does what's going to make her successful in that world. And that is bringing on politicians to lie and then saying, oh, well, that's very interesting. We should be very concerned about this thing you just said.
You know, there's many examples, but another one of them would be the MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell, who, again, you know, started off as, hey, I'm just this nice guy who sells pillows. And, you know, you get into the public consciousness and then it all just comes unraveling. And one of the stories that I saw this week over at Media Matters was about how Mike Lindell is funding numerous QAnon supporting figures and other extremists. He's giving them special MyPillow codes. I mean, he's that's literally his business model now, is just to cater to the extreme fringe of the population. And so it's politicians, it's media figures, it's business people. You know, they have just figured out this is their niche for fame or fortune.
You know, another example is Michael Flynn. And I, And because I can't believe that he was this insane when he was rising in the ranks in the military. I mean, otherwise nobody would have put him in any position like that. And they never should have, obviously. But I mean, go look it up. Michael Flynn suggested that the nefarious forces in our government were putting vaccine in salad dressing. I mean, Google it. Google Michael Flynn vaccine salad dressing, and you'll find out that I'm not making this up. He actually thought that. And he's completely on the lunatic QAnon, you know, faction now. And that guy was national security advisor. He knew every secret in our damn government for, you know, for a while until the fact that he was secretly, you know, collaborating with the Russians came out and other things came out.
And let's remember that the part of the ill effect of this, as we expose people for, you know, what they are beyond what maybe our first impression was of them when they first came on the scene, the unfortunate side effect is that people will find it harder to trust any figure in journalism, media, or elsewhere. And, you know, it really is a case of a couple of bad apples can end up spoiling the whole bunch.
Well, and this is something I've been saying, and it's, you know, about the traitorous right. And again, just be really clear. I'm not saying everyone who has, you know, who opposes abortion or anyone who doesn't want national health care is, you know, is traitorous or terrible. No, that's a legitimate opinion to have. I'm talking about traitorous people, people who like conspire to overthrow the government and overturn fair elections. The thing about the media, the right-wing media that's just lying to you on purpose, is that they don't really necessarily want you to believe them. I think that their ultimate goal is to get you to believe nothing. I think they want you to just decide that everyone's lying, that you can't trust anything, and that lack of trust will make people turn off and not be engaged in their government, not be engaged in their society, you know, just, you know, crawl into their living room and on their living room couch and, you know, watch TV all the time and not do anything, not vote, not engage in anything. And so I think that part of this kind of cascade of lies that we've been seeing from the right is designed to make you believe nothing.
Yeah. As a result, they get to do, you know, pretty much whatever, because again, when fewer people vote, it makes it easier for them to go unchecked. And again, when you ask, do they believe in nothing, or do they just believe something wrong? It isn't just that these are folks who are, you know, nobodies who just sat around watching TV all day. You've got people like this Republican legislator in Minnesota, Steve Drazkowski, who is the video's going around of him making remarks on the floor of the legislature saying that he disagrees with providing, you know, school breakfasts and lunches, because he says, quote, "I have yet to meet a person in Minnesota that is hungry. I have yet to meet somebody in Minnesota who does not have access to enough food to eat." Really?
Right. I mean, it's like, and so the idea that the whole, that this guy's circle of friends is how we should judge everything in society. And I mean, come on.
The circle of friends theory is exactly what's behind the big lie. It's always people who say, I don't know anybody who voted for Joe Biden, so I don't know how he could have gotten that many votes. And I think, how are you saying that out loud with a straight face?
Right. Well, that's the thing. What has long bothered me is this idea that some, you know, farmer in Iowa is more of an American than some kid on the south side of Chicago. I mean, this idea that only the people, only the, you know, the people who are just like us are real Americans. Jim Jordan, Ohio congressman, keeps on saying, well, real Americans this and real Americans that. Well, we're all real Americans. You know, if we're in America, if we're American citizens, we're all real Americans. And some of us are poor. I mean, there's statistics the guy could have looked up that would show that poverty is a problem. And that's, Pat, that's another thing that I think people aren't worrying about poverty if they're not poor. You know, they don't think about it. But some people are. I mean, there's statistics on it. And also in recently, the Congress, because of, you know, of right wing influence, failed to continue extend the child poverty child tax credit, which pulled a bunch of kids out of poverty, and now they're sinking back in. So I mean that's part of another thing about the right that bothers me is that they say they're very religious, and you know, I believe that they think they are, but part of religion is caring for people that aren't as fortunate as you, and this guy just is so out of touch. I would think that would be, instead of him saying that that's a reason that we shouldn't like give breakfasts to poor kids in school, that's his confession. That's him confessing that he's out of touch with his constituents.
I wonder, because I was traveling this week and didn't watch nearly as much coverage of things as I normally do, but I wanted to know your impression of the coverage of the Silicon Valley Bank collapse and some of the coverage of it that included this ridiculous right-wing talking point that the bank was too focused on being quote-unquote woke, right. You know, in other words, you know, having, you know, diversity guidelines and things and not paying attention to its investments. Now, look, you and I both know that's a bunch of bull, but I wonder, I did see some of the initial coverage of it, and it made me wonder, of course you're going to cover what somebody says the very first time. The question is, do you put it on a loop and play it over and over again? Do you think that got sufficiently debunked, or is that something that right-wing media continues to run with?
Hey, well, Hannity was talking about it last night. So,
okay,
yeah.
There's that.
So there, you know, I mean, I didn't watch Hannity, thank goodness, but I did see it on Twitter. And, no, they're going with that. And it was like it was an instantaneous thing. And it was also with some person, you know, at the Wall Street Journal, their right-wing editorial side, was pushing it too. So it was just kind of instantaneous. We got to like, everything's woke. I did a tweet the other day that had a picture of the explosion of the Hindenburg. And I said, you know, damn woke dirigibles, you know, I mean, you know, everything, like, so every problem that happens is because of woke. And when you think about it, what they're really saying is that our banks are failing because somebody's trying to force us to be fair to Black people. I mean, it's like, you know, you can't be fair to Black people in promotion and hiring and still like run a bank. Like there's some thing where you can't do that. The desire for some people to go straight back to the 1950s is just shocking. I mean,
well, they have found a path to get back there in terms of this, making this argument that talking about racism is racist.
Right, right, right. As if everything's been cured, everything's been solved. You know, I mean, there was a statistic a few years ago in Chicago where Black people were arrested for marijuana possession like 8 times the level of white people. Well, you want to tell me that Black people are smoking pot 8 times as much as white people? I don't think so. I really don't think so. And so statistics like that just tell you that the problem continues. And again, nobody's trying to say, well, we all should feel guilty and, you know, and surrender our government to the, you know, the woke mob or whatever. No, we're just saying, let's try to be fair. Let's learn from the past. You know, there was a story in the New York Times that was just shocking that was about how these book publishers, these textbook publishers, are trying to edit their textbooks to be acceptable to Ron DeSantis and his bunch, who, you know, don't want racism even talked about. And the textbook had a reference to Rosa Parks. And they took out, they proposed taking out for the Florida why she was being forced to the back of the bus. They still said that she was being forced to the back of the bus, but they forgot to say, or they took out, that she was because she was Black.
Yeah, the exact text here is, Rosa Parks showed courage. One day she rode the bus. She was told to move to a different seat because of the color of her skin. She did not. She did what she believed was right. And then the new version says, Rosa Parks showed courage. One day she rode the bus. She was told to move to a different seat. She did not. She did what she believed was right. Seems like there's something important missing there, Mark.
It does seem so. And really, and also saying that she was forced to the back of the bus because she was Black, that's not going to make some poor, you know, some white kid feel guilty. It's going to make some white kid not be racist when they grow up. I mean, I learned all about how, you know, the cruelty toward the American Indians, all this. I learned American history. It didn't make me feel guilty. I didn't do Wounded Knee. It wasn't me. I just want to be a kind of person that wouldn't do it again. That's what history's for. It's to make us learn stuff and be better.
Yeah, it's not going to make some white kid feel guilty. It's going to make racists feel mad that they, you know, are continuing to be exposed and maybe should treat people a little bit better. Mark Jacob will take next week off. We'll pick it up in 2 weeks. Always great to talk to you. Have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, you too.
All right. Take care. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dan Schumacher over at UW-Eau Claire. The athletic director there joins us every Friday about this time, and we look ahead to the weekend in sports. It's a very busy time as the winter sports season wraps up, so we'll get that visit with him coming up in just about 2 minutes here. You're up north. You get it already? Dan Schumacher playing Name That Tune. Name that Grateful Dead tune, Dan.
It's El Theo.
Yeah, he mouthed it immediately.
He did. Aaron's totally vouching for him over here. That's so great. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, you as well. You look at us both resplendent in our green outfits.
I'm going to put my patty hat on and a nice Irish sweatshirt on for later this afternoon to enjoy.
To me, I have virtually no non-Packer green, you know, anyway, and I'm not sure why. I just don't. But it's also all those years of it's St. Patrick's Day. Oh, it's all about you. It's like, no, there's not a drop of Irish blood in me. So I think this is just kind of my pushback of, no, it's not my day. It's a day for others, for beer drinkers everywhere. and the Irish. Yes. We are about as busy a period as it gets for sports. We've got March Madness going on. We've got things happening at the high school and college level. There's some pro things as well. Badgers NIT run, that didn't go very well.
Well, they won.
They won.
They won, but when you looked at it, you know, bad time to host something when you're on spring break. There was nobody in the stands. It's kind of shocking how much they didn't have in attendance for an NIT game. Mm-hmm. I think they play. When do they play today?
Let's see. It says here Sunday, 11 a.m. against Liberty.
And they had to do that because of the WIAA. They were supposed to play probably today instead of Sunday, but because the Kohl Center is wrapped up in WIAA basketball, the NIT game had to be moved to Sunday.
Oh, is that what did it? Oh my God.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
But a good shout out to Whitewater. Whitewater made the Final Four in men's basketball, did lose, come short to Mount Union last night, but it was an exciting game. The women play today. Whitewater's women do play today. So they made a great run at the end of the season and set themselves up for a great postseason as well.
Okay. All right. When I mentioned the Badgers before, I realized I'm still thinking about the Big Ten tournament and how quickly they flamed out on that one. But yeah, the NIT just got it confirmed here. The number two seeded Badgers will host number three seeded Liberty 11 a.m. Sunday at the Kohl Center, and it'll be on ESPN2. The Badger women's hockey team is in the national semifinals tonight, 6 o'clock against the Gophers, but in Duluth. So not to confuse people, it's not UMD. It's actually the Minnesota Golden Gophers that the Badger women are taking on this evening. The Marquette men play in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. They open up in Columbus, Ohio this afternoon at 1:45 against Vermont. The Marquette women play this morning against South Florida. That's at 10:30 in Columbia, South Carolina. Do you fill out brackets now at this point? You've got so much going on. No, you can't, can you?
I can. It's illegal. It's actually illegal. Part of the rules. It's part of the gambling rules. So, no, I'm not allowed to bet on any games, fill out a bracket, play fantasy football. That's not allowed in the position that I'm in with the NCAA with the rules. So, So I'm looking forward to that day to be able to sit in the sports book one day and bet on football game or something like that or fill out a bracket or play fantasy football.
Wait, do I not even get to ask you who you think is going to win the NCAA?
I can be a prognosticator. Yes, of course.
Oh, okay.
But I do like Duke. I do like Duke winning it all this year.
Okay.
Yesterday's game was the best game. Yesterday was Furman beating Virginia.
I was going to say we had a couple of big. Did we have both a 12 and a 13 win yesterday or not a 12?
I don't know. I can't remember how Northern Kentucky was up on a high seed. They were like 14 seed and they were winning when I fall kind of nodded off at that point last night.
I continue to, you know, reaffirm why nobody should confuse us for a sports talk radio station over here, because, and again, it's why I stopped filling out brackets myself. Was like, I'm not going to be able to predict which 12 is going to beat a five, you know, and the odds of filling out a perfect bracket are like in the quintillions or something like that. Just enjoy the game. If you want to watch the game, that's the way I look at it.
I would say, Pat, from what I understand, what I know inside wise, and my experience is based on planning since 2012 when I was an athletic director at Division I. In the next 2 years, I think you will see the Power Five conferences take their ball and go home like they did with football. That there you won't see the Cinderella stories anymore. You won't see the mid-majors. That the Power Five is going to develop their own field of 64, and none of the conferences outside of the Power Five will be participating in that basketball tournament anymore. Means that they'll probably fully break away from the NCAA as they did with football.
That would be crazy, because then you wouldn't be able to see, now that I've looked things up here, you wouldn't see a number 15 Princeton beating number two Arizona, or that a number 13, a Furman was a 13 seed knocking off number four Virginia. Wasn't Virginia the one that lost to a 16 a couple years back?
Man. I mean, these are all great stories, but like I was reminded, those stories last for news cycle probably 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why they want to change they want their ball and go home. They don't want to share the money either. It's all down about money. Just like
I was saying, there's a lot of money going on with that. Holy
that's why the expansion of college football playoffs is going to happen. Because the big Power Five, it's all about money.
But here's the thing. When you expand like that, what else do you expand? You expand the opportunity for injuries, and that's my transition to the World Baseball Classic, which has had a couple of serious injuries to players who now, you know, their Major League Baseball season is in jeopardy because they're doing what is essentially an exhibition play. And it makes me wonder, you know, if something like that, this could really give the World Baseball Classic a black eye.
Yeah, I did see one of the Major League Baseball pros break his leg yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
And by celebrating,
which I thought we were done with that. I thought we were like, celebrate cautiously, you know?
Right. So, anyways, plans, Pat, for St. Paddy's Day today?
I do not. I'm going to be running away. Our live shows will resume on Tuesday, March 28th. And I think the only green in my future involves some palm trees.
I'm leaving tomorrow. I'll be taking off tomorrow to Florida to watch our softball and baseball teams compete down there for the week.
Okay.
So I get a chance. I have not done that since I've been in the tenure at Eau Claire. I've always gone in the past to Florida to watch baseball, softball, golf, tennis. That's their spring break trip. But I'm going to do it this year. And I'm looking forward to getting to some warm weather and getting out of this.
We were over at our neighborhood watering hole, The Edge, here last night, and somebody was talking about how tough it is for spring sports. You have to travel a lot, and if there's inclement weather, you're fighting for gym time, you know, to get your practices in. And I reminded them that I never had that issue because nobody fights over space at the library for the debate team. The debate team, we always had enough space. Inclement weather was not a problem for us. All right, one more sports note. The Bucks lost last night. The Indiana Pacers rallied late and beat the Bucks 139-123. They are at home versus Toronto on Sunday. And that's where we leave things. So we'll take next week off. Dan, safe travels to Florida. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Enjoy yourself this week, Pat.
All right. Thanks so much. Thanks, everybody, for being a part of the show today. Again, live shows will resume on Tuesday, March 28th. It's been a pleasure, but it's also been a long winter. I'm going to go take care of that for a while. You all take care of yourselves. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk again soon.